In the last several years, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent trying to improve health care for the dying. And despite that, a new state-by-state report says the nation still has a lot to do. NPR's Joseph Shapiro reports.
Nancy Rose leads a busy life, working at the Federal Patent Office, spending time with family, going with friends to dance clubs, even if she just watches now because pain has gotten in the way of all that.
When you're in pain, it's hard to do things like talk or communicate on your job with people or just do your everyday functions like clean your house and go to the grocery store.
For Rose, it was the pain from a cancer that started in her lungs and spread. Rose is 52, and Greta Gettlein says that makes Rose the kind of patient hospice programs usually don't see, but the kind that hospice can do a lot to help.
She's younger and she's very mobile. She's still working. She is very much in charge of her own care. She lives alone. She's amazing, but she has a very horrible terminal illness that will probably take her life in the next 6 months.
Gettlein is a nurse who coordinates care for the Hospice of Washington in Washington, D.C. Doctors and nurses there can try out different pain medications until they find what works. But Rose would need to live at the hospice for at least several days. She resisted Gettlein's suggestion to check in.
She was so busy living her life that she wasn't managing her pain.
And I'm going, no, I didn't want to go. Three things, fear, fear, and fear.
She said, well, you know, well, maybe after Thanksgiving. And I said, well, Thanksgiving's a long way away, and you're in so much pain, you want to be in pain that long. Well, no, you're right, but I have to work.
Greta, she was a little bit pushy now.
Okay, Nancy, what's more important? Your work or being pain-free?
She knew I was in pain and it was a way for me to get it under control, and she wasn't going to give up on me.
Doctors are getting better at easing pain and helping dying people get the support they need to live as normally as possible. Yet many don't get that good care. That's according to a new report by Last Acts, a coalition of medical groups and others seeking to improve end-of-life care.
Across the board, it's a C-.
That's Judith Peretz, who wrote the report. She says one of the biggest failings is that too many people die in pain.
Dying is not comfortable. Dying is very messy. But experts tell us that 90 to 95% of pain can be successfully managed.
And yet, too often, it's not. Perez notes one study found that up to half of cancer patients die in pain. Nancy Rose did decide to check into the Hospice of Washington. She expected to stay 4 or 5 days. Rose moved into a private room across from the neatly landscaped garden named for Barbara Bush, who was on the board of directors here. Right away, she felt assured by the attentive staff. That's different from her recent stay in the hospital. There, the nurses were too busy. When Rose's pain medication ran out, it took hours to get more pills. Here, the staff doctor and nurses spend long periods every day with her, checking her pain level. It's not just people with a terminal illness who need good pain control. There's a nursing home attached to this hospice unit, and there, even long-term residents deal with pain. At the Washington home, nurse manager Elizabeth Tabod says there's a simple way to tell if a patient is in pain, if they say so.
You believe they're in pain. Regardless of how many times you've given the medication, you still have to address the issue that they're in pain. So if somebody says that their whole nose is falling off or whatever pain they're having, pain is what the patients say pain is.
And to show that nurses take that definition seriously, they ask patients if they're in pain. They ask them a lot.
Are you in pain right now?
If I'm immobile, I don't have any pain.
Every nurse is taught the time-honored way to tell how a patient is doing. Check the four vital signs: temperature, pulse, respiration, and blood pressure. At the Washington home, says Tabod,
we've decided to make pain the fifth vital sign.
Advocates for better end-of-life care say it's important to ask patients if they are in pain every day. But few hospitals or nursing homes do. One national study found that 40% of nursing home residents who are in pain stay in pain. Tabod says she's seen a change here since nurses started asking. Nurses catch and correct pain more quickly. And that means this is a quieter place. At this nursing home, patients not only define their pain, but they have a say in how to treat it. When Ban Xuan Li arrived, the pain from his hip fractures was so sharp that he could not walk. Li asked for a daily body massage with oil. He and his daughter say the massage, and simply having a say, made a big difference. Li is 91 and he speaks softly.
I feel better and better.
I think that's have a lot to relieve my father's pain.
Most hospice care takes place in a person's own home. It's hard to diagnose pain when staff isn't around to do constant monitoring. But the doctor for the Hospice of Washington even makes house calls to check pain levels. And that's in addition to the frequent home visits from nurses. On this day, Nurse Cynthia Daniels has come to see Clarence Archer. He's 67 and he's dying from cancer.
Hey, Archer. Looking pretty.
Daniels climbs these steps to Archer's small bedroom 4 times a week. She spends a lot of time asking how he's feeling. Daniels has learned to do more than just listen to his words.
I've sort of gotten used to Archer's cues. His pain cues to me are pretty obvious. He grimaces and he gets this furrow in his brow.
Daniels kneels at Archer's bedside, holding his limp hand with her 2 strong ones. She teases that he's been too macho to admit how much pain he's in. He once raced speedboats professionally. Now Archer spends his days in bed. But with his pain under control, he and his wife decided to take a recent autumn road trip to North Carolina to see family. Daniels arranged for oxygen tanks and contacted a hospice in North Carolina for backup. The trip went well, with Archer propped up with pillows in the front seat as his wife drove. That's the kind of all-around care hospice provides. But nationwide, most patients don't enroll in hospice until the very last month of life. And that's not long enough to get all the benefits of good pain treatment. Back at the inpatient unit where Nancy Rose is staying, it's taken about 2 weeks to get her pain under control. Not the matter of days she expected. But Rose is determined to beat her pain and carry on with her everyday life.
Don't sit around moping and thinking about it, because you're going to get in trouble. I tried that one time, and it almost pushed me off the edge. You know, you got to keep going, because if you don't, then you just might well hang up your rock and roll shoes.
The new Last Acts report grades states on several measures. Are doctors discouraged from prescribing strong pain medications? Do people die at home or hooked up to machines getting needless care? To the surprise of the study's author, no one state stood out as a place where a dying person was sure to get state-of-the-art care. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
The Last Acts Coalition is funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. That foundation also contributes to NPR's coverage of health issues. The complete Last Acts report is at npr.org.